You can go ahead and turn to chapter 13, Romans chapter 13. I'll go ahead and read these first seven verses here before we go over the verse-by-verse study and what I've been doing over a period of time. Verse 1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God," speaking of that individual that God has put in the position of a ruler, of authority. "For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Now, as I've stated in the last message that I had back in chapter 12, dealing with the vengeance belonging to God, the doctrines concerning predestination, concerning justification, and so forth, already been established by Paul in his earlier writings to the church. And we need to keep that in mind as we take a look at these duties and responsibilities of believers. We need to always understand that it is Christ that justifies us. We're justified based entirely on the righteousness of Christ being freely imputed to us. And these responsibilities and duties that we have on this earth, we don't need to ignore them. We need to abide by them. But at the same time, we need to understand that our justification, our salvation, has already been accomplished by Christ as he lived his life on this earth and died in our place. But the apostle, he now continues here in this chapter 13 that we're going to look at this morning, with our relationship with the civil government of God, that government that God's placed us under on this earth, which duties and responsibilities are all built upon the doctrines of grace that Paul's already dealt with in earlier chapters of Romans. The apostle, having finished his exhortations to this church in relation to the many duties that both officers and other believers within the church are obligated to perform, with reference to our moral conduct in this world, Paul now proceeds to advise, direct, and exhort believers to such duties as were relative to them as members of a civil society. I think that not only back in Paul's day, but even in our day, Christians, having become the subjects of a kingdom which is not of this world, might be led to suppose that they were released from the ties of obedience to human authorities, especially authorities which were not Christian. The Apostle Paul here in chapter 13 clarifies this sort of thinking. God through the Apostle Paul commands every soul, no matter what nationality you are, Jew or Gentile, to be subject to the existing powers that we're under. He also makes no exception as to the nature or constitution of any government, whether it be a dictatorship, a democracy, or a republic. We as believers should work within the frame of whatever government and constitution we find ourselves subject to. Before I begin going over these verses this morning, let me just say that no matter what happens on this earth, no matter what happens. It is for our good. It's for the believer's good. I know this, so this is so because God tells me through his word in Romans 8:28, where it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Sometimes it's hard for us to see this truth when there is so many negative things going on around us each day. So many abuses of leadership. As we look around today, it seems as though the world is just falling apart, as though there is no one in control. As believers, we know that even though countries rise and countries fall, God has ordained it so. You remember what happened with Pharaoh when God, through Moses, brought the children out of Egypt, out of bondage in Egypt. God says that he raised him up and placed Pharaoh as ruler over Egypt, that in time, God might show his power. Look at Romans chapter 9, verse 17. In chapter 9 and verse 17, it says, "For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout the earth." Here we have a rebellious ruler that God had placed in authority as ruler over Egypt. And God did this in order to show his power in the earth. God meant all of it for good. All those things that happened while Pharaoh was ruler in Egypt. But Pharaoh meant it for evil. All those things that he did concerning things against the nation Israel as they were under his authority. He did it out of the evil of his own sinful heart. We also have the account of Joseph, who was sold into bondage by his brothers. Let's look at what Joseph told his brothers when they found him in Egypt years later. The Pharaoh had placed Joseph in a position of power and leadership in Egypt. And this was while they were going through a time of famine in the land. And y'all remember the story about Joseph and his brothers and Jacob, their father, and what happened to Joseph. You know the story of how Jacob sent his sons up to Egypt years later in order to get food because of the famine. Well, Joseph made the following statements when his brothers found out that this was their brother whom they had sold into bondage. And you remember, when they found it out, they went up there to get food, and that's when Joseph met them, and they found out that was his brother they had sold in bondage. Look at what Joseph told his brothers here in Genesis 50:20. It says, But as for you, ye thought evil against me. His brothers thought evil against him when they took him, and they wound up selling him into bondage. To those men, they meant it for evil. He said, "But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is today, to save much people." Now, while Joseph was going through all of these terrible things at the hands of his brothers, I'm sure that he didn't think it was for his good during that time. But in the end, it was not only for Joseph's good, but for his entire family, his brothers, his father, and also the entire land of Egypt. Now, with these things in mind, let's go over the verses here that we're going to go over this morning. Verse 1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." One thing every true believer should understand well, and that is the necessity of submission to godly and proper authority. Concerning the highest and most important submission of all is when God the Holy Spirit brings us to see our sinfulness and the holiness of God. He brings us to submit to his will and his way of salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. The next few verses gives us some examples. The next verse, rather, gives us some examples of those that chose not to submit themselves to the true God of Scripture. In Romans chapter 10, in verse 1, beginning at verse 1, it says, Paul speaking of his brethren according to the flesh, the nation Israel, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Unlike those in the verse that we just read, we as believers do submit to the righteousness of God as the only way God will save a sinner. But God has to make us willing to submit. We submit to God's judgments concerning us as sinners. We also submit to his word of truth and salvation by his free and sovereign grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, based on his righteousness alone, the very righteousness of God. This submission to grace is opposed to our natural, sinful way of thinking, because when we fell in Adam, we rejected submission to God's authority, and we opted in the person of Adam for our own. Our only hope of salvation is to be brought into submission to Christ. Thank God that he makes us willing in the day of his power to submit to Christ in his righteousness. If he didn't do this work in us, we'd be just like all other sinners. We wouldn't submit. Another part of this submission that God has ordained is submission to higher authority in which God has placed us in as we live on this earth. And this is mainly what these verses are about that we're dealing with this morning. God has ordained civil governments and authorities for our well-being and for our happiness in this life. We as believers are to submit to these higher powers as they are ordained and ordered by God. Believers are to be law-abiding citizens under whatever government we providentially find ourselves. Romans 13:1, the verse we're dealing with here, Paul's not dealing with our spiritual condition, but our civil responsibilities as believers. It was not uncommon for the early Christians to be accused of teaching people to rebel and rise up against civil authority. This was mainly due to their thoughts of not having an earthly king to rule over them. However, this was not the case in this verse. But if any sought to use the teachings of Christ as grounds for such behavior, Paul proves the opposite. As a general rule, if we obey the laws of the land, we avoid civil punishment. But if we break the law, we suffer civil punishment. God has ordained these governments, and all those who are in the offices and authority in these governments, from the president all the way down to the police officer, we are to show them respect and honor suitable to their positions. And we are to obey their lawful commands with submission. It is God's will that they are to be obeyed as magistrates in the exercise of a lawful authority. The power of civil government is delegated by God. God delegates his power to these individuals. However, this delegated power is not absolute power. So if the demands of the civil government are in any way in conflict with the law of God, then it is our clear duty to resist, if it is. Now, in verse 2 here, it says, Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. They that resist shall receive themselves damnation. We're not to look upon those in power in a personal way, but in an official way. I believe that this verse says that if we disobey the just laws of the land, we disobey God himself. Paul here is speaking of resisting officials in the right discharge of their office and in the exercise of legal power and authority. We know that from time to time, people who have been placed in certain office may abuse the duties of that office. When this happens, we should let our voices be known and this should be done through our elected representatives. We need to operate within the Constitution and with the form of government that we're placed under. Also, Paul is not saying that those that resist authority will be threatened with eternal damnation. Damnation here, literally condemnation, is punishment. And punishment here is civil punishment, not spiritual or eternal punishment. Remember, according to Romans 12:12, we are to rejoice in hope and in the certainty of eternal blessedness based entirely on the finished work of Christ. We who believe the gospel are never to fear eternal condemnation because we have Christ's righteousness charged to our account, a perfect righteousness that answers all the demands of God's law and justice. God has graciously not charged us with our sins. He charged them to Christ, and Christ paid the ultimate price on the cross when he died and paid the debt, our sin debt. Let's look at a verse that proves that there can be no eternal damnation for any of God's elect. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." As we see here in Romans 8:1, there is not, nor can there ever be, any condemnation or eternal damnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. But believers are to be law-abiding citizens. And if we break the laws of the land, we're just as liable to civil punishment just as much as an unbeliever. Now, in verse 3 here, of Romans 13, says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." Again, as a general rule, civil authority is not a terror to law-abiding people. Authority is hated by lawbreakers. We see this in our fall in Adam. The whole human race fell in Adam when he rejected God's sovereign authority and chose his own, and we fell in Adam. This is the way of man by nature. He despises authority. Believers are to show respect to authority because it is ordained by God to restrain evil and to preserve society from destruction temporally due to the sinful, rebellious nature of mankind, due to sin. Without it, there would be total anarchy and chaos. Good works and evil works are not spoken of here in reference to spiritual, eternal things, but in reference to civil government and laws. Our civil rulers are bound by law, or at least should be, and those who obey the law generally cannot be justly punished. What the apostle is telling us here is we should have no need to fear this punishment if we obey the civil laws. I know that, just for an example, and there's so many examples I could give this morning, but I know I've already always told my children, it's a good example here dealing with this, that concerning police officers, if they stop you or stop you and question you or whatever they do, would you respect them. Don't argue with them. If you argue with them, you're going to get in trouble. You can count on it. And hopefully, just be respectful to them and tell them what your side is or whatever. Hopefully you'll get a warning rather than a ticket or something, you know. But if you start to not respect that police officer, you're going to have to suffer for it. And that's what this scripture is telling about concerning this respect and authority. But anyway, in Romans chapter 13, verse 4, it says, for he is the minister, speaking of that one that's been placed in authority. He's the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Those in authority are servants of God in a civil, temporal sense for the general welfare of all. They serve God by protecting civil law keepers and punishing civil law breakers. Civil law keepers are protected. Only those who break the law should fear the punishment. And again, this is God's will and ordination of authority in a civil sense. And verse 5 says, wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Keep the laws of the land, not only to avoid the punishment, but also for conscience sake, for your conscience sake, from a right motive regarding the revealed will of God. Civil rebellion and anarchy are forbidden by God. We can use laws to bring about change, such as voting for or voting against certain laws, and in the just exercise of our civil courts. But we are forbidden to use unlawful means. The only exception is when the law of man is directly opposed to the revealed law of God. Now, here in verse 6 and 7 here, it says, For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Now, before I begin speaking on verses 6 and 7, I need to qualify some things. The basic principles stated in these verses, they're just as relevant today as they were back then. We realize that the extent of the government that we see today, we realize that it's grown in such a way that even our founders would not even recognize it. They wouldn't even recognize it today. Our tax system today is so corrupt. There's no fair taxation. Everything that you touch is taxed. Just about everything is taxed. You have a state tax, federal tax, local tax, gas tax, food tax, automobile tax, road tax, school tax. They even tax the air you breathe. When it comes to factories and their production of things, they tax these factories and stuff, and you wind up paying for it. But after saying all of this, and how unfair the tax issue is, we're still not to cheat on our taxes, even under what we see as bad government. Bad governments are better than no government at all. We are to pay the taxes that are necessary to maintain the government that God has ordained and temporarily placed us under. Tribute is what we now call taxes. Therefore, pay taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs are taxes on materials and merchandise. And the fear spoken of here is respect to those in official capacities. For we are to honor those in authority by virtue of their office. Even though we at times might have leaders that are not just to all men, what we must do is use the means that God has set forth to change the leadership, which is our country, in our country's case, is the voting booth. But as it relates to our responsibilities as citizens of this country, we're to do what's right by the laws that God's placed us under at this time. And you remember I said earlier, it doesn't matter what government you're placed under. It might be a dictatorship. It might be a republic or democracy or whatever. We are to submit to authority. And I know that kind of the flesh don't like that. We're still sinners, and I know there's a lot of things I don't like about our government and things that goes on. But yet and still, we need that government. Whenever there is abusive leaders, God is the one that will set all things straight. He's the judge of all the earth. Remember what we said back in verse 19 of chapter 12, it says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. We are assured that God will repay all that is wickedly done against us. And his vengeance will be right, and it'll be just. But if we try to take it out a lot of time, take vengeance out or whatever, whether it be any kind of rebellion against authority, I'm sure we're not going to make the right decisions on a lot of these cases. But anyway, this particular subject, as I said, it's sometimes it's hard for us to accept, but this is what God's Word says, and we need, that's what we need to go by. Amen.